Bill, 107.5 FM. Numerology, mental illness as a technology. Acknowledge me and my skills. I write rhymes in the margins and lines of the dollar bills to buy the scholar's pills. I keep it tight from Guilford County to Science Hill, cause I don't wanna fall asleep and get my clients killed. I'm at the truck stops where the buck stops, where they're saying we know where to watch cops, watch for the signs. Keep it in your mind, stay paranoid. Stay always aware, never scared, just prepared. Don't know what's in the air except for the pirate radio music. I get up and use it. Y'all say that I'm making money off of my listeners being smart. It's better than making off of my listeners being stupid. Cause most music to me is completely useless. Just another diversion in this world that we live in. Trying to give y'all some new information. I'm gonna have some skipping CDs tonight. See what we can make technology speak against itself. Also, going to talk some about ghosts, ghost stories, science fiction, even a guest appearance from Ayn Rand. Discussion about the possibilities of language as a virus from outer space and its all its many forms. And especially as something that we get to use as a means both of enslavement and liberation on this planet. Check out In Search of John Teeter. And Lightbulb. Check out In Search of John Teeter and Lightbulb. If you like the little transitional collaborations that M to the Dice and I do every week, you don't want to check out Lightbulb, which will be full of us and a few of our closest friends speaking our minds and unleashing our potential on the world at large. This is a nice track. This is a very nice track. Let me try to wrap over this again next week. I just don't have too much to say tonight. At least not within the form of meter and verse.
Listen closely,
oh, not for very much longer.
So, word on the street is Jenny has some new setup where her email is sent directly to her body. One of her boyfriends did the surgery because she got fed up with having to find public library computers or scrounge up change for internet access at coffee shops. It was only a faint blip, a microsecond disconnect from her surroundings and her reality whenever she gets a new message. She twitches just for a minute, like an addict who has just popped a pill. The data occurs to her like a spontaneous idea, though she realizes its origin. The software installed in her mind is still a little buggy. A strong spam filter is critical to protect her mind. Now she worries that she is really a computer. She realizes that satellites have barely mediated access to her neuro-self, but the operation is still ad hoc and experimental. No one knows if they can undo it safely. Jenny is a runaway, a squatter, 15 years old, and walking the line between transcendence and extermination. She plays the game at its soft peripheries and electrified angles. She will either win by a large margin or be put out of it very soon. Everyone knows her and no one knows her. People see her as what they want her to be. A laboratory guinea pig, a criminal, a freak. She knows things no one else knows and misses things everyone else sees. This is a long shot play, but the only one she has. She was too smart for school, too pretty to be a prostitute, too honest to pass for an adult, too afraid to go without drugs, too self-aware to get addicted. The Mad Hatter is the only person who can make her smile. He comes around lately trying to set up another tea party, panhandling and gambling for the money to do so, but his heart isn't in it anymore. His razor-sharp eyes are lost in a haze. He barely even checks for cops or priests anymore. They found the March Hare's body in a field of flowers. Popular opinion is split as to whether or not the two MHs were lovers, whether Hatter had Hare killed for some reason. Did you hear it might have been an overdose? Anyway, the Mad Hatter goes around in his rumpled coat and a decayingly glamorous hat, wasting away the seconds he has left. The main business here used to be information. Now it is experience, unmediated, beyond intellectualization. Sick of being betrayed by their own brains, the heads hear no less and do more. Those who still know walk around illuminated like Coptic saints, elongated and untouchable, set apart from everyone else. Touch is subject to inflation, rapidly proliferating and increasingly worthless. Last year the main medium of exchange was books, now it's pills. Some time ago, Jenny moved from the edges of the real world to the edges of the underground. From the outside of the inside, they look suspiciously similar. In her other life, she's a middle-aged housewife, married to a successful insurance salesman, with two kids. She built this avatar pixel by picture, appropriating images and ideas, Dr. Frankensteining them together inch by agonizing minute. It was cheaper and deeper in escape than having an affair. The face she has constructed here is a variation on the theme of her own daughters. That life is crushing but not time-consuming. Every minute she can be, she is here, dancing with the drug dealers and cartoon characters, and elves and scientists and graffiti-writing apostles, and astronauts and experimental DJs. Not even knowing where here is, but wanting every second to find out more. Voraciously looking from behind her geeky glasses. Jenny is not as pretty as the other self most people think of her as. She gives away her curves and blonde hair at the doorway to here. She likes this better. In this city, the eyes of the voyeurs are as ersatz as her identity. She keeps getting the emails whether she wants them or not. She has money coming in from online banks every couple of weeks and can't remember why. And even though in theory it makes her rich, sometimes she feels sick of the constant inflow. But most of the time, she desperately wants it. Any excuse to be Jenny again. To walk into this world. No price is too high for a moment away from her other life. So feel free to drop her a line in her skull. The address is... We'll be right back.
H I J K L M N O P Q R S T U V W X Y Z.
I saw this guy in the train, and he seemed to have gotten stuck in one of those abstract trances. And he was going, and Geraldine said, "You know, I think he's in some kind of pain. I think it's a pain cry." And I said, "If that's a pain cry, then language is a virus.
Language is a virus.
I was feeling washed up. And I said to myself, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take myself out. So I went to the park and I sat down. And I said, "Boy, is this ever fun? I'm really having fun now. I'm having the time of my life now." And then this little dog ran up, and this dog had ears like a drop leaf table. And I said, "Boy, is this ever fun?" Say, "I wanted you, and I was looking for you, but I couldn't find you." And he said, "Hey, are you talking to me, or are you just practicing for one of those performances of yours?" There's such a thing as the Japanese language. I mean, they don't even know how to write. They just draw pictures of these little characters. And when they talk, they just make sounds that more or less sync up with their lips. Big science and little men. So I walked in, and there are all these salesmen there with a big pile of electronics, and they were singing phase lock loop, neurological bonding, video disc. They were saying, we're gonna link you up. We're gonna phase you in. They said, think of it this way. Picture a Christmas tree with lots of sparkly little lights. And each light is totally separate, but they're all sort of hanging off the same wire. Get the picture? And I said, count me out. And they said, we've got your number. And I said, count me out. You gotta count me out.
DJ Cool Kid, the hood legend.
Oh, see.
Three.
You see.
Two.
You see.
One.
You see.
Now we come to the payoff.
Do it, Harry. turned on.
Illness as a Technology, hosted by Andrew Octopus.
On Free Radio Asheville 107.5 FM and your local Free Radio / Internet affiliate. Please, 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 please come to the Free Radio Asheville benefit at the Big Idea this Friday, January 14th. We will have an art auction as well as a number of performances by local musical acts, which I'm sure you will enjoy. And if you want to get in touch with us or find out more about the benefit which we have coming up, such as directions, what time it starts, what you can do, please feel free to email us at freeradioasheville@hotmail.com. That also works if you would like to hear a particular song. We are taking requests of the cybernetic variety. This name of the program is Mental Illness as a Technology and Vice Versa. Each week we discuss everything from urban legends to the cutting edge of science and the possibilities of utopia and dystopia emerging in every idea across our society. Keep it right here. Of course, we also have music the way you've never heard it before, music which you have never heard before, and music the way you've never heard it before. Hope you will enjoy the remainder of the program. Keep it right here.
You're traveling in another dimension, one of sight, sound, and time.
Men walking along the railroad tracks, going some old back. Highway troll choppers come chop my old number reach. Hot soup on a campfire in the bridge. Slick eye, hot space, no rest. I wear the light of the night. But nobody's kidding, buddy, when I'm here in the garden. Searching for the ghost of time. You pray out of this. Preacher lights up a button to dread. With my guesses for shit. On the other path, one way ticket to the promised land. A hole in your belly and a gun in your hand. We're the host of old time, Joe. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, I just got my lights. My cousin stayed the night with me. And, you know, we're young. We're excited to go out and drive. So I'll just throw you some that will be engaged just more to go out there. A brief background is you go out and you'll drive. And Bloodspode is a very long road. I'd say it's maybe 5. And on the road is a simple knowledge. I will touch information, but I judge some of the name. You know, we would go and the main story time was a ghost told time road games in high car chase, a van right behind in the rear. I could get the property. I've been inside very small. There was nothing in it. But simply, there have been sightings in the shed at night. And nothing real. But one time, I'm with a car full of about 5 people. And as I was approaching an inner supposed to stop, cars running left and right, didn't I? And there was one single car after the car just steered. And I thought maybe I was seeing things, so I didn't say anything. But the girl next to her screamed, witnessed it all. And I think that would be, to date, one of the most, you know, curious sightings. The story, the folklore behind it, that there's a that runs over a car, put it, stop your car, but then put it in, you push your car across the start, but I have never personally pushed across the bridge. I had once who did tell me was pushed across the bridge, and after I saw take photo, you're supposed to see...
You're listening to Mental Illness as a Technology and Vice Versa on Free Radio Asheville, 107.5 FM, and simulcast via the World Wide Web on shoutcast.com, available for syndication at radio4all.net. That's radio, the number 4, all.net. Normally, I will tell you what we've been listening to, but the mixes have become so complex, interwoven, and varied that not even I am able to keep track at the moment. Most recently, we heard Rage Against the Machine with the Ghost of Tom Joad. And before that, the skipping CD version of the same track by Bruce Springsteen. Now we're going to go in a little bit of a different direction, still talking about ghosts. Have you ever heard of Bloods Point Road in Illinois? Well, now you have.
When I was 16, you know, I just got my license, and my cousin stayed the night with me. And, you know, we're young, we're excited to go out and drive. So I was on the country roads, just driving around, doing whatever. And I just started telling him the story of Bloods Point Road. But I didn't know even in what city it was in. And I just happened to, by taking random turns, I happened to stumble upon the road by accident. So then that kind of intrigued my interest for, you know, going out there. And at the time, I worked at a grocery store called Highlander. And I have had a boss who was supposedly a ghost hunter, as he claims. And he would go out on excursions all the time to photograph and document ghost sightings. And he was supposedly had been on radio shows and had been published in magazines and in books before. And once I had told him that we had planned on going out there, he told me, you know, no, don't go out there. You know, it's bad spirits. You know, he just told me, he's like, if you want to go see ghosts, I'll take you to go see ghosts, but just don't go out to Bloods Point. Well, being young at that age, that only intrigued us more to go out there. And so, you know, the main story of going out there is like a brief background is you go out there and you'll drive, and Bloods Point Road is a very long road. I'd say a stretch of maybe 5 miles. And on the road is a cemetery called Bloods Point Cemetery. And the cemetery, most of the headstones date back to the late 1800s, early 1900s. And some of the graves were actually mass graves where maybe 6 people were buried in one location. And
Is there a particular ethnicity associated with the graveyard?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
Not to my knowledge. I haven't been able to find too much information on that. But I, judging by some of the names, it doesn't seem to be so.
Okay.
And, you know, we would go at night, and the main story at the time was some a ghost, like a phantom car, will pull up behind you with its lights on, and you won't even realize it. And once you look in the, your rear view mirror, a car will be right on your ass, and then it'll turn its lights on, and it'll chase you and try to run you off the road. And between the ages of maybe 16 to 19, I had gone out there maybe 15 to 20 times with friends. And I would say about three good times, I was in some high-speed car chases. One time in particular, a van pulled up right behind me, riding my ass real hard, no headlights on, and in the rearview mirror, I couldn't see any face or anybody driving the vehicle. And this chase lasted upwards to about an hour, and speeds at about 85 miles an hour. We had two cars. We did get ran off the road into a cornfield, and he followed us. We stopped. He'd wait with us, and eventually it just vanished. And at the same time, being skeptical, you got to figure, well, you know, there's the stories, there's, you know, about this place. It could be just some teenagers messing with us, you know, so I always kept that in mind, that, you know, it's not some ghost car trying to find follow us. But at the same time, we would go out there, and, you know, not too many of us would ever get the courage to actually go into the graveyard at night. During the day, we did make a trip out there to check out the gravesite itself, and that's how I know about the graves dating back to the late 1800s. And there's supposedly, there is a shed on the property. I've been inside it. It's very small. There was nothing in it. But supposedly, there have been sightings of people screaming in the shed at night. And nothing real big. I know one time I was on the road with a car full of about five people. And as I was approaching an intersection on the road, it was a two-way stop. I was supposed to stop. Cars running left and right did not have to. And there was one single light above the intersection that illuminated the intersection. And I watched the car approach and stop, and it was illuminated by the light. And I thought it was kind of funny that this car stopped when it didn't have to. And as I got closer, the car just disappeared. And I thought maybe I was seeing things, so I didn't say anything. But the girl next to me just started screaming. And so she witnessed it as well. And so I think that would be between the chases and the that disappearing would probably be up to date, would be one of the most, you know, the scariest sightings. The story, the folklore behind it is that there's a bridge that runs over railroad tracks on Bloods Point Road, and a long time ago, this a bus full of kids ran off the bridge and died. So now, on this bridge, if you were to stop your car and put it into neutral, if you stop your car, you won't be able to restart it. But then, if you put it in neutral, these kids are supposed to push your car across the bridge. I've been on the bridge before. I've had my car not start, but I've never personally been pushed across the bridge. I had a friend once who did tell me that he was pushed across the bridge, and after I saw him, I had noticed that there were a set of four small handprints on his bumper that he supposedly was unaware of. But we kind of stopped and, you know, didn't think too much about it. I kind of outgrew going out there. And then, recently with, some of the discussion I've had with friends and, television shows that have been on, I've been doing some research about, Bloods Point Road itself. And, there have been, ghost hunters who have gone out there and who have examined the area, and they have their descriptions and photos on the internet. And one thing that has been documented is that in the graveyard, if you take photos, you're supposed to be able to see these orbs, like perfect balls that are transparent but seem to have texture, floating or moving in the air. But you can't see it with the naked eye, you can only see it with film. And then also, Bloods Point Road runs down to Pool Road, eventually. And there is an old wooden train bridge that is eerie in itself. And supposedly, a woman had once hung herself there. And about a half block down the road is a half circle, like a cul-de-sac, almost a turnoff for you to park your car. And there is a brick wall. And I also read that if you climb this brick wall, there once used to be a church. Now there's only a foundation of the church. And this area is supposed to have a lot of the orbs in that area. There also have been sightings of red orbs. And there's also a tale of if you follow these trails into the woods to go find this foundation of the church, that a ghost farmer will follow you or chase you with a shotgun, and then once you get out of the woods, he disappears. And also, there is supposed to be a lot of technical malfunction. Flashlights won't work, cameras won't work, and so forth. So, I take my rapping partner Easy Roll and Billy Simpson, the drunk arm of Smidget, out with me last night. First, when we get to Bloods Point Road.
Hold on, what an appropriate pair of companions to take out for this place.
Oh, I know. It couldn't have been any better. Michael Harris found himself well suited to be there with us, Billy Simpson. So, we get there, and this actually plays a good role. We get there, and I park in front of one of the main gates of the. We parked in front of one of the main gates of cemetery. And we kept the car running and put the parking brake on. And the car we are in is a very new car. It has safety features. The locks are not supposed to lock until the vehicle is running at 20 miles an hour. And we get out of the car, and the doors automatically lock Billy Simpson in the car. And he can't get out, and we can't get in. And he was, you know, he was struggling to get out. He had to use his feet to unlock the doors to get out. So luckily for our sake, he was actually there, or else, you know, we would have been pretty screwed. But I started taking photos of the cemetery. I did not actually go into the cemetery, but I went up to the fence, and I took a lot of photos inside. I took photos of just the air surrounding, the space surrounding, and a lot of the gravestones and such. We didn't see anything, anything out of the ordinary. There is one soul light in the middle of the graveyard, but that's it. Other than that, we're surrounded by cornfields. There's one close house up by, but nothing spectacular. It's pretty empty out there. So, one thing we did notice, there were a set of tracks that were almost in a very symmetrical shape. It was or geometric. It was making a large scale circle, it seemed like. And the tracks, we cannot find out what kind of animal would have made these tracks. You know, we're not ruling it out. You know, it's like a small set of what almost looks like a deer hoof, but each step is taken out in the same exact, like, space, but there's only one print. You know, a deer has four legs, there's only one print, mm-hmm. And it's then all aligned in a row, and it's almost in geometric shapes. and the tracks don't really go anywhere. And so, I mean, we thought that was kind of funny, but no big deal. When we finally made out to Pool Road, we got out. I took pictures of this bridge, of Billy Simpson underneath the bridge. And then we actually felt more adventurous. I have not done this much exploring out there yet by myself. We went off on the side of the road, climbed up to the top of the bridge. I was taking pictures on top of the bridge and off the bridge. And then we went over to the cul-de-sac, took pictures out there, and then we climbed the concrete wall that supposedly had the trails to the church area. And it was wide open fields. I was taking lots of pictures out there. And in one instance, which this comes into play later, there was a tree that had been cut down, and it's in the shape of a V. And I take one picture of it, and then I take a couple of the pictures. Then I go back, and I get closer, and I take another picture of it. And the flash from my camera illuminates the area. And Billy Simpson tells me, you know, oh, I think I saw something, take another picture. So within, I would say, a range of 10 to 20 seconds, I take another picture. And so we take a bunch of pictures. We think we hear a few things. We think we saw it, a few things, but nothing special, nothing that to freak us out, really. One thing also that you, like I told you earlier, is that you're supposed to have technical malfunction. I was having a lot of trouble with my camera. It's a new camera. For every 10 photos I would take, I would have to attempt to take 20 or 25. Every time I was pressing a button down, it might not work. Also, the screen, the view screen, usually has a bunch of icons, and when you zoom in and zoom out, there is a, you know, like a diagram on how close or how far you are, and I couldn't get any of those to display when I was out there. But, you know, once again, it's nothing big, nothing that really freaked me out. Once I got home and looked at the pictures in my camera, I realized that some of the photos had a haze or like fog in them. My ultimate assumption was, you know, I probably messed up the pictures by touching my finger on the lens, fudging the lens. And the night last night was crystal clear. Not a cloud in the sky, no fog. It couldn't have been a better night.
You're listening to Mental Illness as a Technology and Vice Versa. Your place on the airwaves and on the net for cypherpunks, ghost hunters, feminists, mad scientists, inventors, storytellers, and people like you. Hope you've enjoyed this week's program. Come back next week.
Better night to go out there. And so I put the pictures on my computer, and I took approximately 40 to 60 pictures.